Hello, Athlete Mindset community. This is Lisa Bontasumi, the host of Athlete Mindset. Before we dive into this episode, I want to invite you to support the mission and purpose of our show. For $10 a month, you can help to make sure these conversations get to as many athletes, teams, coaches, and sport mental health environments as possible. As a subscriber, you will receive exclusive content and updates on current topics in athlete mental health, and you'll be directly contributing to the betterment of mental health for all athletes. Join the cause. Subscribe at sportse.io/athlete and make a difference today. Again, that's sportse.io/athlete. With your support and amplification, we can ensure more voices are heard and more individuals and communities are positively impacted. Hey everyone, welcome to the Athlete Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Bontasumi. This is the second interview of the three-part series featuring staff from Dominican University of California's Applied Sport and Performance Psychology Program. You can catch the first episode with Senior Program Director and Certified Mental Performance Consultant, Kai Laird, wherever you listen to your podcast. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Allison Pope Rhodius, the Program's Director and Certified Mental Performance Consultant. Allison comes with 3 decades of working with elite performers to graduate program that brings teaching, guiding, and mentoring to the next generation of practitioners in the field of sport and performance psychology. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa. Great to be here.
No, I'm excited. We're going to jump right in. When folks inquire, whether they're prospective students or an athlete or a coach or a parent, when they inquire about what is the difference between sports psychology and performance psychology, how would you answer that?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I would say sports psychology is typically working with athletes and coaches. So the more traditional sense of what sports psychology is. Performance psychology is working with, for me, anything outside of the sport arena. So it could be working with musicians, dancers, even working in the business field, but it can expand beyond that to working with the military and firefighters. So for me, it's anything outside of the sport arena. And I would say performance psychology came second in the chronological order of, you know, how we got here. So sports psychology, and we always spell sport with one S in our
Yes. field. That's important.
And all my students will laugh when they hear this. And then performance psychology is really, you know, some people think of it as the umbrella term for everything. So maybe everything is performance, which it is. But traditionally, the field is sports psychology. And then you have performance psychology. And there's also exercise psychology. So, you know, there's so many different arenas right. where you can apply this information.
Yeah. And I think jumping into that a little bit more, someone might be like, oh, did all these people have something in common that would guide the work? Like, how would you work differently with someone who's an athlete than maybe someone in the military?
Well, I haven't actually done the work in the military myself, but I have a lot of graduates who have gone on and done that work. And they say that the work is very similar. You know, the principles are the same.
Yeah.
But you're basically applying the same performance psychology principles across the board. So how does somebody get motivated? How does somebody feel less anxious? How does somebody feel more confident? It's all about doing a needs assessment, figuring out, okay, what does this person in front of me need? And then how can I tailor what I know to that particular person? Obviously, there's research in specific research in those areas, but you know, the principles are just very similar across the board. And you're dealing with human beings first. You know,
that's right.
Say human beings first and then performer, or athlete and performer, or soldier, or you know, whatever the arena is. Talk to somebody as a human being. I have students who might not necessarily feel comfortable talking with somebody from a different sport than they're used to. But if you just start with the basics, you're having a human interaction.
That's right.
So yeah. Start with there.
That's right. That's right. No, I love that. That's so important. Your program, the Applied Sport and Performance Psychology Program at Dominican University of California. How does your programming prepare future mental performance practitioners?
I mean, this is what makes me so excited. We're a one-stop shop for all the things that somebody would need in order to be an applied practitioner. Mm-hmm. So you talked about that certified mental performance consultant credential from the from AS, which is the Association for Applied Sport Psychology. Our curriculum is completely aligned with those requirements. So not only do the students get the coursework, they also get the applied hours within the master's program. And then in addition, if somebody comes in and they already have a psychology background, so somebody like you, you already have a psychology background, you have a lot of graduate training and you've got a lot of hours in the field, but then you might want to get certified. You might want to be a CMPC. So we have all those options as well. And we have a certificate that people can just take in order to do those. So we're a one-stop shop for all those elements. So students start out and take courses. You can do online or you can do on campus. Or most people, if they're local, they do a combination. But even online, you know, I always say you can't do the courses in your pajamas because we need to see you on the video. And I don't, I don't need to see you in your pajamas. So, you know, it's very interactive. So even though it's online, nothing is fully asynchronous. So let's say a class that I'm teaching right now, it's 3 units across the entire semester. It's an intro to the field. And we have 5 live classes over the 16 weeks. Mm. So it gives you that engagement. It gives you some interaction. You don't feel alone. Being an online student can be a bit lonely. Mm-hmm. So you have that piece, but you also have the flexibility of you don't have to commute to campus if you don't want to. Now, if you do want to, our campus is absolutely gorgeous. We are in San Rafael, California, which is close to San Francisco. We're just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. It is absolutely gorgeous. And everybody says that when they come. So I would highly encourage people, if you're local, come and have a visit and take classes on campus and online. And if you're far away, take classes online. The only thing you have to be here for is a 2-week residency in the summer. So that's at the end of your first year of courses. So that's the only thing we do. And that kicks off all the official applied hours that they get working with athletes and coaches in the field.
No, it's exciting. I get excited listening to it again. As a proud member of the advisory board, I'm like, yeah, it's my program. Let's go. Yeah. Like, and I think what is important to say too, first of all, is that, like you say, one-stop shop, you can get your master's. And then once you graduate, be ready to take that exam because like you said, you're aligned, right? Or you can be a clinician like myself or a coach or someone else who's a master's level individual who wants to add this defined specialty to their repertoire and then be ready to sit for the test. So
yeah, exactly.
I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, and we prepare our students to take the test as well. We do exam prep. That would be part of the master's and the certificate students are welcome to add that as well. We recently had somebody come on, you know, email us and say, can you help me with the exam prep? I'm like, well, it's for our students, you know, that's where we're gearing towards. I can point you in the right direction, but, you know, our training is included in our program. It's all part of it. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing what we've managed to put together in a relatively short space of time as well. You know, we've not been at Dominican or University of California for that long. We were at Holy Names University prior to that, but that unfortunately closed. So we've hit the ground running and we've been here for almost a year now, and it's been such a wonderful opportunity for us.
For sure, for sure. Definitely. You referenced and talked about the applied experience. Tell me more about that. How do students in your program get that applied experience in the field, which you and I both know is essential?
Yeah. So The courses will introduce the ideas, and in some courses, they'll actually go and find people who will just be a fake client, if you like. You know, they're going to work with somebody and learn how to do counseling skills. And so they record all those sessions so that the professor can give them some feedback. And then once they've done some courses with us at the end of their first year, they come to campus and they work with a couple of different teams over a 2-week span, supervised constantly by the CMPC supervisor. They're with their classmates and they're doing kind of like a camp experience, but focused solely on mental skills training. So they're not giving any technical information to the players. The coaches are there, but we're supplementing what the coaches are doing. We're adding on this mental piece, which is super valuable. And everybody, you know, really should have that as a component of doing those kind of summer camps. So the students do those hours with us. And then in their second and third placements, they go on and get even more hours. So they're placed with a team for an entire season. So we do have some placements up and running now. We also have Dominican teams that we're excited about helping them as well. So students can do placements with our teams here on campus. Or if they live elsewhere, they can go and do placements with a high school team. So you're with them for an entire season, ideally preseason, full season, and then postseason. And so you're getting a lot of hours in that time. You're hanging out, you're observing, you're getting individual supervision, group supervision. Every week you're meeting with your supervisor. Every other week you're meeting with the group supervisor. So it's a lot of information that we're able to keep track of. We have a placement coordinator. I know you're going to be speaking to Dan shortly. So I think what we do is set them up for success. And if there are any problems along the way, we can nip it in the bud pretty quickly. And, you know, we talk to the sites, we talk to the ADs, we talk to the coaches, we talk to the school principal if we need to. We've got everything figured out. And we also cover the liability insurance, you know, so you can go and do a placement somewhere else, or you can do ours, but we've got you covered. So it makes sense to do it in this kind of establishment because it's a very safe and secure place to go and practice your craft.
Yeah, for sure. With all the support that's put in and in place is really, really great.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, you mentioned placements. Like, so myself, Ath Mindset, part of my commitment as an advisory board member is to be able to help out with some of the placement opportunities. Because like you, I'm committed to helping the up-and-coming generation feel confident and be competent in their craft as they go out into the world. And so I'm excited to be able to lend that and like be alongside you in this different way to complement what you guys have, which is amazing.
And we love your support.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Like, give me an example of, you had mentioned it's important for the students to be there during pre, during, and post season.
Mm-hmm.
How does the work shift or change depending on what part of the season a team might be in?
Good question. So preseason, it's all about the training and the coaches establishing who they are. The roster is as big as it possibly can be at that point. And they don't know who the student is at that point, the trainee is. So they're going in and they're observing, they're introducing themselves to people, they're building rapport, they're talking to the coaches, and they're doing those needs assessments and figuring out, okay, what does this team need? What does the coach need? They might be doing sessions on what is your mission statement? What are your values? You know, before even preseason, if you can get into that stuff preseason, you can really hit the ground running. Most people think about placements and internships starting once the season starts, but if you can get in there preseason, you can do a lot of great work.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it gets going, obviously everything is a bit more hectic. If you're lucky enough, you might get to travel with the teams, and they sometimes pay for your travel expenses. They might give you gear to wear because they're really proud of having you with them. And that's when you're getting into the real nitty-gritty. You're doing group sessions. You are hopefully doing coach workshops. You might even be doing parent workshops. And you're doing a lot of individual sessions with the athletes and figuring out, you know, how can you help them excel on the mental side? And along the way, if there are any issues that need referrals to a therapist or a psychologist, our students don't do that work. They don't diagnose and they don't treat, but they can identify and refer. And we train our students very well to be able to identify those red flags and refer to somebody that they trust.
No, it's great. That's all amazing. And thank you for that outline. I think Kai Laird talked about like the importance of a referral network. So that when it kind of can flow over into treatment or diagnosing or things like that, that the student and the MPC and CMPC all feel comfortable enough to know and stay in your scope and be able to get that support that also ultimately helps the team and the individual. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah, you can't work in isolation on those things. So, you know, if you're not trained in all of those areas in terms of how to identify, you're not being the best service to the players and the coaches and the performers. So you need to be able to identify those areas and also have a great referral network so you can help them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If someone's interested in learning more about your program, what would be the process or next steps for them?
Well, I'm hoping that we can give you some links that you can maybe put in out with your podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would say, obviously, Google Dominican University of California Applied Sport and Performance Psychology Program. You'll definitely find us there. We have info sessions every month where myself or my colleague will talk with an admissions counselor. We typically have a student with us and we go over those. I would say follow us on social media because that's where you'll see all the great events that we have coming up. We have a career fair that's open to the public, which is online, coming up very shortly. So our username is Dominican_ASPP.
Nice.
The best way to find us. Yeah.
Yep, yep. I always look at you guys and see what's going on if we're not talking ourselves about it, you and I and your colleagues. Let's say someone, okay, they listen here, they learn more, they're going to consider applying, they go through everything you just shared. What would be some really exciting and cool jobs that people have? Like, what have some of your graduates have done, you know, and engaged in after graduation?
Yeah, you know, I've been the chair or the program director of three different programs. So I can talk about,
yes, please.
You know,
yeah.
And the programs are very similar to some extent. So a lot of the students will go on and work with the military because that's the number one employer.
Yes.
There's a couple of different companies that subcontract with the military, and that's, they've got several hundred jobs available out there with the military. So we've got quite a few students who are doing that and graduates who are doing that. There's quite a few who've gone on and worked in baseball. I would say baseball is probably the number one sport to have really embraced sports psychology even more. So the minor leagues and the major leagues will typically have somebody trained in mental skills training, and maybe also somebody who's trained on the psychological side as well. They could be working with college athletes. We've got graduates who are doing that now as well. Quite a lot of people want to set up their own private practice, and we've got a lot of graduates who are doing that very successfully. I think it's hard to do that solely because you're constantly marketing yourself. So you have the ability to do it. And we can even give you a class in our program about how to set up your own private practice. We give you the business skills and information about that as well. I think it's hard to hit the ground running with that because nobody knows who you are in the beginning. So the bigger your network, the better established you can be. But once people get established and people know who they are, then they can start to do that work very successfully. I would say my top tip is to have a niche, because if you don't have an area of specialty and you're too general, yes, you can work with anybody, you can work with any sport. But if you are the go-to person for a particular sport and maybe even a particular gender, so women's basketball or women's tennis and male curling players, I think that is really helpful. When you're a performer, you want somebody who specializes in your sport or your area of performance, ideally. So that's what I typically say to students who are leaving the program is try to figure out what is your area of specialty. You can still do other stuff as well, or you can have more than one specialty, but I think it really helps people find you.
Yeah, for sure. No, those are all good tips. And I love that your sport and performance psychology program gives classes on the business aspect, because that's something that I think is very unique and important and people want to know, but also the realities of it's not going to be a steady income. And so how do you position yourself for that and help people, which is all of our passion, but also putting food on your table and having that consistency. That's why, you know, Ath Mindset, you know, is proud to bring on a lot of your graduates, because I know how prepared they are.
Yeah.
And that they don't have to worry about that niche just yet or being alone, that they can be part of a community and part of, you know, how our team supports one another and like you're not alone and have some clients to start to work with. And so I think it's important for us as human beings who provide the service, serving performers who are human beings, to feel connected and feel that our work is purposeful and that there's people alongside us doing the same work, even if we're not in the same space, field, or screen. So I really value that about what you all offer and what you guys do.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have a peer support group as well, even if you are independent and you're doing your own work. Mm-hmm. I've had the same peer support group for I don't know how many years now. I think it's over 2 decades.
Wow. Yeah, same one?
Yeah, the 2001, the same core group. 4 of us have been in the same group since 2001. So I just realized I came from the UK in 2000, and it was very lonely because, you know, all our family was over there, all our friends were over there. And also from a professional perspective, it was quite lonely because I wasn't a full-time professor at that point. I was trying to, you know, be an independent consultant. So I decided, you know what? I need some help. I need some support. And I reached out to people that I trusted. And I said, do you want to get together on a regular basis? And we meet no matter what. You know, I think that's the key.
Yes.
Meeting regardless of not just when you have a problem or you have an issue you want to share. Meet no matter what. And so, I mean, even during the pandemic, we were meeting every 2 weeks, which is amazing, but online, obviously. So now we meet every month. We meet no matter what. So you've always got something to share and something that you can help somebody else with. Yeah. So
that's right.
That's really important.
Yes. I think the practitioners on Ath Mindset feel like the consultation group that I help facilitate to kind of like help that community building, but also sharing of perspectives, skills, experiences is something that they really value and find important. And sometimes I forget that how important that is. So thanks for reminding me to keep offering it. And what I've done too is like, even if I can't go, they still meet and I say, hey, can someone just lead this and like provide space, make sure everybody's on and the links, because it's just so important. So
yeah. And I encourage the graduates to get together with people who they trust, but also I say, try to not make it just your friends. Try to make it so it's people who have different training to you as well. We have a clinician in our group that wasn't trained in the same area that a lot of us were trained in. And that's really important as well. You know, having a wide range of training backgrounds, I think, is really important. Not just you're hanging out with your friends. You want to be able to have people that you can brainstorm in lots of different ways.
No, it's great. It's great. It's great. I thank you for walking us through the program that you offer, which I think is fantastic and robust, creative. I know firsthand that the graduates that come out of your program are top notch, are ready to serve, ready to help. And I wish all the best to your program. Is there anything else that you'd want to share or add to anyone who's considering this field or considering your program at Dominican University of California?
I would say follow us, like I said, on social media to just see what events we have, because we offer our events to the public. So they're open, they're online, and just dip your toe in.
One of those things.
Dip your finger in as well. just see what you like. And I always say, you know, start with the intro class. If you don't do anything else, honestly, I think that's great for coaches. if you can take one class, take the intro class, because it'll give you a sense of what is sport and performance psychology.
I love
that. Give you a grounding, give you a little bit of history. It'll give you the main concepts that we've been covering. And that's the only class that we run twice a year. We've just been contacted by two different fire departments. And, you know, some of their people are going to come and be our students. And I said, well, if you don't do anything else, do the first intro class, because it'll help you think about how you can help train your firefighters in a different way. And it'll help you support them even better. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it progresses over the next year. We're hoping eventually that we'll have placement sites with firefighters.
That's awesome.
So cool.
Oh my gosh. So very cool. So very cool. So just to summarize what you said a little bit here, another amazing part of this program is that there's an a la carte option, right? If there are classes that you need or classes that you're interested in, you can take them one at a time.
Yeah, for the certificate students. Yeah, the master's students is all laid out because it needs to be comprehensive. For the certificate, you can choose which classes you want. Obviously, there's a certain sequence, but yeah, I like the idea of a la carte. I always say mix and match, but
you know what?
That sounds way more fancy.
And more official, right?
Yeah, French always sounds more fancy.
Bonjour, oui, oui.
And if you have a CMPC profile already, you have a psych background, and you know that you're missing some of those knowledge areas, that if you're into CMPC language, you'll know what that refers to, then we can fill in the gaps, basically. So we look at your profile and say, oh, you're missing this, and then we can fill in those gaps. So yeah, a la carte, there you go.
A la carte, there we go. Well, thank you so much. I know this is going to be very valuable for anybody who listens in, and I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your expertise with us today.
Thank you so much for hosting. We really appreciate you and your connections and Ask Mindset. Thank you so much for being on our advisory board.
Athlete Mindset is part of the CASSource Podcast Network. At CASSource, we love podcasts. In fact, we love building podcasts. Everything from development to production. Because of all that, we're growing this one-of-a-kind podcast network. If you have a podcast or looking to launch a new podcast, then we should talk. You can message me on Twitter at @Eric_Kaz or hit us up any way that works for you by searching CASSource on your social media app of choice. Let's talk about your podcast joining this one-of-a-kind podcast network, the CASSource Podcast Network.